Good job. Now, what we're going to be looking at this morning is why Christianity? Why choose Christianity? And this came about, I mean, I grew up in a Christian country. I was sent to a Christian church. I was born to Christian parents. And I left home at 18, really, with no interest in Christianity or anything else. And then through the murder of a friend, I ended up coming to faith in Jesus Christ. I was looking for something. I was confronted with my own mortality and really didn't have a whole pile of answers to that. And I can remember going into work and sharing that with the fellas in work, and they laughed their head off at it and thought this was hilarious. And then when I was leaving work to go into ministry, one of the fellas I worked with wrote on a card, he said, to one blah, 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 may your God go with you. I thought, right, strange thing. This guy was an atheist, and he said, well, listen, he said, you're an extremist. He said, there's something when you're a Christian extremist. If you'd have been born Muslim, you'd have become a Muslim extremist through what you've been through, or a Hindu extremist, or a Buddhist extremist, whatever it was. He says, you've got a problem there. He says, but whatever culture, this is just your God, and may your God go with you. And I thought, really, is that the truth? If I was born in Afghanistan, would I have, through that experience, come to faith in Allah and to, you know, would that be where I would have found my light? And they sort of ask the question, why are there so many religions in the world? Well, one, because everybody's confronted with their own mortality. If you have any sense at all, or titter a wit, you'll have a fair idea that you're going to die. You know, that's basic common sense. You're part of the ultimate statistic. You know, 10 out of 10 people die. The second thing is that God has set eternity in our hearts. That's what the Bible says. So from the jungles of Papua New Guinea to Belfast, people know that there's more. Don't know what it is, but they know that there's more after death. They know they're going to die, and they know that there's more after death. And the fact is that none of us live up to our own standards. Never mind a deity standards. Every one of you has a conscience. And every one of you have violated that conscience. Your conscience sometimes told you don't steal that, and you stole it. Don't tell that lie, and you went ahead and told it. You shouldn't really be angry here, and you were angry. You were gossiping when you knew you shouldn't be gossiping. Your conscience convicts you, knowing that you haven't lived up to the standard that your own body calls you to. And therefore, if there's a deity and you have to go out and meet this deity, no matter who he is, you haven't met your own standard, never mind met the deity's standard. So before we pick a religion, what I want to do is I want to have a look at the choices that are set out. I want to give you this morning. This is an offer on to each one of you. You don't have to, a show of hands now for these here questions, okay? Not straightforward this, okay? Just put your hand up which one you would like, okay? 2 weeks in the Maldives, pampered luxury in a health spa in the Maldives, okay? Cold at this time of year, maybe a few aches and pains. You go in there, you'll be relieved of all of that. Lovely and warm, beautifully blue seas, it'll be lovely. The keys to a brand new car or tractor, you can have your pick, all right? But you can't resell the vehicle, you have to be driving it. So it's a luxury car or a tractor, you've got the keys there set out for you. I'll up that because the tractor was pretty high spec. How much would a tractor run you? 50, 70? £70,000 cash alternative? Or a parachute? Okay. So hands up for the first option, 2 weeks in the Maldives, luxury health spa, good stuff, I think I'll join you. The keys to a brand new car, top of the range or tractor, good money in there, we'll get you, the boys in there, tractor ordered. 70 grand in cash, you can spend it on what you like, good stuff. Or a parachute, good stuff, right. Now, the added information you have before we make a question, answer the question is that all of us are on a Boeing 747 and both engines are on fire. The pilot has said at 35,000 feet he can't land the plane. It's about to break up. We've got about a minute to get off the plane. So us with our tickets to the Maldives are a bit stuffed. Those with our tractor keys and car keys are a bit stuffed. Those with £70,000 in your pocket, it's only going to weigh you and make you fall quicker. I don't know if that's scientifically right. And the people who took the parachute are the only ones that are actually going to make it anywhere. So the additional information makes a difference to what you choose, doesn't it? If you know the additional information, that will make a choice to what you pick. So here's our choices, the four big religions of the world. You've got Hinduism, you've got Buddhism, you've got Islam, and you've got Christianity. Which one? What you need to have is the additional information that you need before you make your choice. You could have stuck your hand up at the Maldives as the first choice, or the tractor at the first choice, but without the additional information, it changes your mind as what you're going to choose. And the additional information in our case is that God has got 10 commandments. And really strange, they tie in a lot with your conscience. So if you live out and you're a flesh-eating man from Papua New Guinea, a human flesh-eating man from Papua New Guinea, you know that it's wrong to rob off your neighbour. Not because your parents taught you, because there's something inherently in here that ties in with these. And take the name of the, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, honour your father and your mother. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not lie, you shall not covet. Now, Jesus, when he comes down to earth in the Sermon on the Mount, really clarifies a lot of that for us. He says, listen, if you looked at somebody else with lust, you've committed adultery. If you've hated somebody, you've murdered them in your heart. James 2 verse 10 says, if you've broken the law at one part, you have broken all of it. So the person who stole a little tiny sweetie chew at 5 years of age and thought that, and they knew it was wrong when they took it, is guilty of that whole lot of stuff. The white lie that I told, that no, your bum does not look big in this, you know, or whatever else the other lies that we have told, means that I have broke the whole lot of that. It's like they're written on a big mirror or a window, and you just try to break one, you break all of them. And the additional information you need to know is that God is going to judge sin. No matter where he finds it, he will judge sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages for sin is death, hell. That's the additional information you and I need to have before we make a choice of religion. That we've all broken God's law, and the punishment is sin, death, and hell. Then we need to look at the religions and see, well, listen, how is this going to help me out? How is this going to fix the problem? Right, I want to know how you react to this. On the 3rd of August 2007, a one-year-old boy called Baby P was found dead in his cot in Haringey in London. A post-mortem examination revealed over 50 injuries on that 17-month-old child. His back had been broken, as were some of his ribs. Those injuries, as well as a lifetime of abuse, had been inflicted by his mother, her boyfriend, and the lodger. Remember this case, I'm sure you remember it, and it went for ages in the news. How does that make you feel? Now, I want you to imagine that this is no longer a church, it's a courtroom. And you have been made the judge of this court case. You've got all of this evidence sitting in front of you. You've got the three animals that did this in front of you in here. You have unlimited powers to do anything that you want to do as the judge. What are you going to give these three people? 5 years in jail? Now you want to see... Can I just say something to you? If that doesn't make you angry, there's something wrong with you. You're a pervert. That should make you burn with anger. It should make you cross. What do you give them? 10 years? 20 years? Life in jail? Death sentence? Can I tell you something? God is angry by that. God is really angry about that. And the fact is that these three folks here will not escape God's judgment. They may get a pithy sentence of 10, 20 years in a jail here, but one day they will stand before Almighty God to give an account of themselves, and the Bible says that God is angered by their sin and by their murder. That he's angry. That's how a loving God can be angry. People say, well, how can a God of love be angry? God needs to be angry, or else he's a pervert. If that doesn't anger you, because there's something in you that says, listen, that is wrong. And that wrong needs to be justified and put right. But what happens in God's perspective is that God is angry with that sin, and he's angry with all the categories of sin that go all the way down. He's angry with liars. He's angry with thieves. He's angry with adulterers. He's angry with people who have broken his law. And he is a righteous judge. Now, you imagine if you're sitting in the judgment on the court case and you said, well, listen, this is my niece here. I don't want to see her life ruined, so I'll let her slip out the back door and you just go on your way and I'll try and cover this up. You'd say that judge is bent. He's not doing what he should be doing. A righteous judge has to judge the crime, has to make sure that it's punished and punished justly. And God is going to do that with our sin, every single one of them. Now, Hinduism. Oh. If you're bad, this is basically what a summation of what they believe, not in depth. If you're bad, you may be reincarnated as a lower animal or a lower thing. If you're good, you'll move further up the caste system until eventually, if you're good enough, you'll become a god or sort of taken into God. It's an interesting concept, but it doesn't help you with the real problem of having sinned against God and the reality of hell. It also has a twisted belief in it. And I went to India a few times, and people who were disabled, people who were injured, were given little sympathy. Because at the end of the day, we'll slap it up you because you're just getting punishment for a life that you've had before. You must have done something terrible. You're maybe one of these child abusers in a life before. Now you've come back and you've no legs, or your legs don't work, or your brain damaged, or doesn't bring a lot of sympathy. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't offer you a help with your sin. It doesn't give you anything help with God's judgment. It doesn't offer you any help with heaven or hell. Buddhism. Buddhism denies that God exists. It teaches that life and death are like an illusion. And that can help. It can help you temporarily over the fear that people have with death. But it doesn't square with the real reality. Sure it doesn't. You know, just like I'm doing, I can go down to the road down there and say that I believe really strongly that cars are unicorns. And that roads are playgrounds and day is night. And so I'm skipping about with the unicorns in the middle of the road at night time, in the dark, because there's no such thing as cars and the unicorns. What's going to happen to me? I can believe what I like, but I'll end up run over in the middle of the road. And this doesn't deal with the real realities that life is real, that death is real. Now, Islam, this is the most, this is increasing at the greatest rate of any of the religions in the world, Islam. And it's interesting because Islam acknowledges the reality of sin and hell and the justice of God. But the hope that it offers is that the sinner can escape God's judgment, God's justice, by doing enough religious works to outweigh that sin on judgment day. But you can never be sure of heaven until that day and the outcome is revealed. Islam, like the others, does solve the problem of having sinned against God and the reality of hell. So in essence, what they're saying is, listen, God is going to overlook all the stuff that you've done before. He's going to say to you, listen, well, sure, it's only you. You know, dear love you. You know, I like you. You know, you like yourself and I like you. And I said, well, listen, I'll tell you what. Come and slip out the back door. We'll not look at the sins that you have. You try it in a normal court across town. I go over and murder some woman. And then I tell the judge, well, do you know what, judge? I'm going to devote the rest of my life to doing good. I think you should let me off. I'm going to be really, really good. Is any judge in the country going to let me off for that? No, he's not. Go ahead and be good, but the rest of your life you're going to spend in jail. So it doesn't help with heaven or hell. It doesn't help atoning for sin. It doesn't get you anywhere. So what I want to look at is the uniqueness of Christianity. Why do I choose Christianity? Why is it the best thing that there is an option above any other world religion? Well, the first thing is that you can be honest with God. Every other religion, you sort of have to big yourself up a bit. How are you getting on their own? Oh, not too bad, you know. I'm a good person. I'm not that bad. You want to go and look at Jessica down the road? She's a trump. I mean, she does all sorts of things. Or Davy over there, you know, he's just an absolute terror. I mean, he does stuff that I would never do. I'm not that bad. You try to have to big yourself up. But Christianity, you can be 100% honest with God. There's not a sin that I haven't committed in my thought, in my words, in my deeds, that God wasn't there and seen it. He wasn't there whilst I did it. Every embarrassing thing that I would want none of you ever finding out about, God was there. So I can be completely honest with him. I don't have to go into a confessional with somebody being mortified. I can go to God and say, God, listen, you were there when I did those things. You were there when I thought that stuff. You were there when I said those things. You were there when I demonstrated that behavior. I can be completely honest. It's the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. And I want you to read that right. It's not that it's the only belief system in the world that offers a real savior. Because I was thinking to myself, well, you know, this is the only religion with a real savior. It's the only one that actually offers you a savior. Buddha did not die for you. Confucius didn't die for you. Muhammad didn't die for you. All the other religions say, save yourself. Try and save yourself. This is the only religion in the world that actually comes down and offers you somebody who says, I'll save you. I'll rescue you. I'll come for you. I'll take you to heaven. I'll take care of your sins. Nobody else even offers you that. It's not even that there's a false religion out there that would come along and say, listen, here's a false savior. This is the only one that actually offers you one. It offers you an instantaneous change of status. The government had a thing there, if you wanted to become a British citizen, you had to have 5 years of naturalisation, where you were 5 years, you become more Northern Irish and adopted in. Christianity's not like that. Don't offer your time, say, well, listen, come back in 5 years and you'll be a bit more like a Christian. Keep coming to church here every week and you'll be more like a Christian, and then we'll make you a Christian. Instantly, in a prayer, in turning from your sin and coming to Christ, bang, from a child of the devil to a child of God. Instantaneously, you're into a new family. All the other religions in the world have a period of transition, or have said that you have to wait. Only Christianity offers you eternal life today. I am as secure of going to heaven right here as if I were in heaven. That, to me, blows my mind, because every other religion in the world says, wait until you're dead. Wait until you're dead and come and have a look and see how you're getting on. Because with Islam, you're going to have to show up and say, well, listen, you know, did I do enough? Have my sins been taken care of? Did my good outweigh the bad? Was life really a dream? Was death really a dream? Is this really right? Whereas Christianity, and the reason I can tell you as to why I'm going to heaven and it's as secure today, is because it doesn't depend on me. If my Christianity depended on me, I would muck it up. I would mess it up. And just the last, very last thing. The reason I can be secure in this is because God is both the just and the justifier. Let me explain to you how that works. We go to the courtroom and we're sitting along with baby pea killers and everybody else and waiting for God's judgment. The fact is that my weight of sin is no heavier than theirs. The punishment for my sin, there may be varying degrees of punishment, but we're all going to the same place. I can do nothing about that, no matter how much good I do, no matter how many times I come through the door, no matter how many times I pray. It doesn't fix it. But God sends his son down into a mucky stable in Bethlehem. Sends him to a cross 30-odd years later. And he gets onto that cross as a perfect man. Now, the perfect judge must punish the sin. He can't just let it slip and say, listen, the sin doesn't matter. But somebody steps in as your substitute, and all of my sin is transferred onto the substitute. The Father then puts the full weight of the separation and punishment for sin on the substitute. And he's completely squashed in my place.
That leaves me free from the guilt of sin. I'm a sinner, but I'm free from the guilt of that. So when I arrive in heaven, I can sit in, just like, remember we were looking at a few weeks ago with the uniqueness of Jesus. He comes with that present, and he writes your name onto the tab, Jesus and Owen. The joint present that's given in is from me and him. I've done nothing to contribute to that. And that means that I am secure for heaven today, as if I was already there. And God is still just. He's a good judge because he punished the sin. He didn't let it slide. But he's the one who punished himself, punished his own son for that sin, in order that the people who committed the sin, you and I, can walk free. Folks, that's why I'm a Christian. And if you had every religion in the world lined up, that's why I would choose Jesus Christ every time. He's the only one that offers to save you. And folks, that I've been here 4¾ years, and every Sunday, that's what I've brought to you. And I'm asking you just even this Christmas to make sure that that is what you're trusting in. Because it is the only thing that will secure you and take you to heaven. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for your love for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ came and died for us. Father, that's a mind-blowing thing. We want to thank you that, Lord, not only are you the only Saviour that is offered, but you're the only Saviour that we need. We want to thank you that you are our righteous judge who burns with anger against sin, against pedophiles and murderers and rapists, that there will be no one who walks free, that there will be divine justice. But Father, we want to also thank you that people like us, who are adulterers and murderers of the heart, liars, thieves, people who have broken your law in many different ways, Lord, that there's a way that we can walk free from that judgment. There's a way in Jesus Christ that we can be accepted in your sight. There's a way that we can be instantly changed in the status that we have before you. There's a way that we can be, Lord, ready for dying. Lord, that we can stand in the face of death with great confidence and peace, knowing that Jesus has died for us and that things between you and I are right. Father, we pray that each person here will know that peace, will know the real reason for Christmas, the real reason for Easter. And Father, that out of our heart of hearts, Lord, no matter what was set before us, we will choose Christ, choose Christianity. In his name we pray. Amen.